The easiest way to win playoff tickets is by following TSN 1050 on Instagram. Follow us, like our latest giveaway post, and tag who you want to bring to the game. It's that simple. Check us out at TSN 1050 on Instagram.
Marlo in with a shot. He scores! Holy Mackinac! What an enormous goal from the veteran, Patrick Marlo!
He's got so much experience and such a quiet leader on this team. He just leads by example, and obviously he was huge for us.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official playoff voice of the Leafs.
We are 2 hours away from Game 4 tonight. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. This is Overdrive with Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. We're in a truck down by the river, also known as Maple Leaf Square, and I believe the doors are just opening, and I think people are starting to come down. The sun's out. It's pretty nice downtown.
Yeah, there'll be a few goons come immediately. Now, there was a big light up. I walked over from by Harbor 60.
When does it open up?
5 o'clock.
When does it fire
right
up?
Now.
5?
Right now, yeah.
So, yeah, it's filling up for sure.
There will be a lot more Leaf fans than what we saw with the Raptors a couple of nights ago because the weather is that much better.
Yeah.
And I think Leaf fans are understanding that the Raptors are going to the second round. They might go to the third round. They might go to the NBA Finals. The Maple Leafs are in a bit of a different spot. I mean, tonight, as we said in the previous hour, still feels a lot like before Game 3 because I came into these two home games stating what I think the majority of people were stating as well. They have to win both.
Yeah. And it was the way those first two games went where it was just they were just trampled over.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, but they, you know,
but they responded in Game 3.
Tonight will be a big game, like on every different level, and tonight will be a good game. It's going to be good hockey.
Yeah, I'm expecting both teams to replicate what we saw in Game 3. I don't think Boston played poorly, so I don't think we can sit here and expect them to just all of a sudden turn some
switch. Yeah, the Bruins weren't exactly manhandled in Game 3. They had some opportunities.
Well, no, they had four posts and one ridiculous save.
Two.
Well, you're right.
The Bergeron save.
The Krejci save. That was Krejci off the wall with the left pad that Anderson kicked up where Rick Nash was on top of him. That was in the second period. And then the Pastrnak reached back.
See, I thought there was a Bergeron one where he was lying down and he stuck up his glove.
His left leg. That was Krejci off the wall. That
well, the regardless, period. They had a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
Frank and Estelle Costanza are joining me around the table here.
Well, it's the same. Right-handed shot off the wall. But
yeah, they had a lot of opportunities. The Leafs had some, too. I mean, that Rask stop on Janssen got overlooked because of Freddie Anderson's stop on Pastrnak.
Yeah.
If you go back and watch that, like, Janssen got everything on it, and he went top shelf.
Yeah, it was
and Rask got over, and he got a shoulder on it, I think. Anyway, Frank, I can see it's running through your mind. I'm
you
not
got a glove on
that. Okay, he got his glove on.
Yeah,
there
he
you
made
go.
A great glove save, and it was awesome. It was an amazing save.
Yeah, like, it was a great stop. So, anyway, I'm expecting a lot closer to Game 3 than what we saw the first two games out of both teams.
Yeah.
I think the energy in the building will be equally as tense. There will be some anxiety because they're still down 2-1. But I think the buzz around the city does feel a little bit different. The scalpers are out, and they realize they can make some money for this game tonight. Because Game 3, even though it was the first playoff game in a year, because of what happened in Boston, because of the poor weather, nobody was really outside. There are a lot of people outside.
And Thursday night in this city, I'm pretty sure I'm accurate with this. It's go time. Like it's better than a Saturday night. It's the night.
Yeah, I love a night. Thursday night in Toronto.
Why is it so good? Because everyone just mails it in on Friday?
That's exactly what it is. People who cares about Friday? We might as well just have four-day work weeks in this country because the majority of people mail in Friday anyway.
We're heading down that direction anyway.
Yeah, so you go out for a couple, and then next thing you know, the night gets carried
What's
away.
What's the generation after millennials? X, is it?
No. Generation
y
X
Y or whatever it is.
I have no idea what the next one is.
The millennials are spawning lazy people, so we'll see what that generation puts
or
forth.
Smart people, because if you put someone in power that takes away work days on Fridays and we go down to 4-day work weeks, I'm voting for that person. I don't care who it is. You could be a robot and I'd vote for that.
Maybe. You never know.
Prime Minister Robot.
We would end up still having to work.
Yeah, we probably would. Anyway, we're looking forward to it tonight. Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, will join us here in a moment. Bob McKenzie in the truck in about an hour.
He's going to be pumped to be in here. I have to say, it's a little hot in these rhinos right now.
It's starting to get really, really warm.
I feel like I'm
in the rhino's ass, Jim Carrey style.
Little hot in these rhinos. It is.
Pet
it's better than
too.
It is, but it's. We'll be all right.
We'll be okay. All right, here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. I can only imagine how you would feel about joining us in the truck down at Maple Leaf Square.
Why are you in a truck?
I don't know.
We don't know. We're just in a truck in the back of it.
That seems really comfortable. Is it like a one Ford 150 or something like that, or is it like a bigger truck?
No, it's a bit bigger than that, but it's kind of like
it's like an ice cream truck.
Yeah,
it's like, you remember Cheech and Chong had the Up and Smoke mobile?
Yeah,
and that's basically we're in the back of the Cheech and Chong mobile.
Actually, what I'm thinking right now, Noodles, is you guys are in the truck from Dumb and Dumber when they went as the dog groomers.
Exactly. That's where we are right now, except the AC has gone out, I think, and it's starting to get a little bit of a lather going. We're all right, though.
We're launched deep in the rhino's ass in Dumb and Dumber.
That was Pet Detective,
Pet Detective,
wasn't it?
Yeah, AC, sure.
That's basically
there's no
us,
way of keeping that, is there? Once you're in, you're in.
Yeah, well, there's no getting out, man. We're undercover. There's no question about that. Anyway, Game 4 tonight, what are you expecting? Closer to what we saw in Game 3, or will it resemble on either side what we saw in the first two games?
No, I think the whatever the hell happened in, you know when Toronto just got turfed around the block there, for both teams, I think that's gone. However it happened, or whatever the reason was, it happened for a multitude of reasons. I keep going back to, we all picked this to be almost a pick'em series, and I think that's how the games will look. Unfortunately for Toronto, now they got to climb back into the thing here. Not like this is anything other than obvious. I mean, this is a must win tonight. They can't lose. They're not going to beat, I wouldn't think, Boston three times in a row. They got to win tonight.
No, and that's what we've been saying. Like, it's kind of eerie, actually, Ray. Like, we were down here on Monday night for Game 3, and it kind of feels the same. Like, there's still this sense of anxiety. Like, it's a must-win, and a must-win is a must-win, regardless of what the series number says. You had to win Game 3, and I think the same thing applies tonight. They have to win, and... You know, we can go down the checklist of what has to happen, but I think the most obvious answer is Freddie Anderson's really got to respond. And when you think of these two goalies and their track record, who do you have more faith in actually stepping up tonight and stealing a game if need be? Would it be Rask or would it be Anderson?
I wouldn't give anybody a clear leg up. I've seen Rask be both brilliant and really not very good. And so I don't, like, it's not... If you were asking me, Rask and Jonathan Quick, I would pick Quick. You know, like, if you were saying Fleury or Anderson, I would pick Fleury. Like, I would have more faith that door would be shut. Rask can spring a leak. I've seen it, and I don't know why particularly, but he gets loose. There seems to be lots of room in the net sometimes with him. I'm trying to think of the goal. Oh, it was Marlowe's goal, the wrist shot over the glove. Like, that went almost in the middle of the net.
Yeah.
Like, every once in a while he gets, I don't know what it is, Noodles, he gets small in there. And so I kind of think Anderson can be the better of the two goalies tonight. I mean, he had a hell of a third period. He got lucky. I don't know how many posts they hit, but who cares if you get lucky, and then that gives him a little more confidence, and he can play like he did for most of the year, because he's going to have to. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, he's got to have a big game tonight. That's the truth, because it also stems the confidence for your group. The group knows they can score. So the Maple Leafs, if you look at their formula this year, is they're a talented team that has depth up front that can outscore any issue, or for the most part. That's why they got 105 points. They could outscore any issue, any defensive blunder. And last game, they got the goal support and they got the goaltending. And I thought their D held up and looked really good at times for, to try and shut down Boston's cycle attack. There wasn't a lot of secondary opportunities on Anderson, and they still gave up 42. I'd like to see the number under 40, but I'd also like to see the Leafs continue with that speed and that type of jam that they played with, and that's where they can have success.
Ray, do you not think one of the biggest factor in this series? Sorry, were you
go
talking?
Ahead. Sorry, no, you go ahead. Sorry, I jumped in late.
We were talking earlier. Do you not think the biggest factor is how Toronto can withstand the push from the Bruins in the first period? Because they lost last game. The big line was held off the score sheet. Everything is going to be firing on all cylinders because they want to go back to Boston 3-1. And they're going to show it to them right away.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because the home team's always, since forever, we've said, oh, yeah, the home team, you got to be ready for the first 10 minutes. They come out and they're, I'm with you. This is because the game can get away from them really quickly. And then, you don't want to be chased. I know they got all kinds of offense. We all love the way that their forwards are, but you don't want to get to the point where you're chasing the game again. That's a loser's bet. And they have to balance their excitement and their aggressiveness without taking too many crazy chances. Like they can't be giving up 2-on-1s to Bergeron and Krejci, and like they're going to get burned. They can't. And it's funny, the formula we talk about, guys, doesn't it make you a little hesitant that the formula often involves Anderson making 40 saves? It's not exactly the formula that you want to draw up. But when they were putting points on the board like crazy, that's what they were doing.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And, I mean, Babcock has spent the past 48 hours talking about how relaxed they are now because they got the monkey off their back. And I keep thinking, all right, let's not get so relaxed to the point where you really start playing an open ice game and you start doing things that are going to cost you the game. And, you know, we heard from Bruce Cassidy yesterday, and we talked a lot about it, how he was really pumping the tires of Mitch Marner. And I expect Marner to have a quality game again tonight. He's going to have a tough matchup. I would think they're probably going to be on that Bergeron line again. But Austin Matthews is still the engine of this team. And I still think the expectations have to be a little bit higher for Matthews as opposed to Marner in terms of what is going to take place tonight. I mean, where do you stand on that? Who do you expect more out of? Who should we expect more out of? Is it Marner or Matthews for you?
Well, it's Matthews for sure. I mean, let's think about what's going to happen this summer when they go in and talk turkey on July 1st. Who's going to get paid more? Who's going to have higher expectations? Well, it's going to be Matthews.
Exactly.
Right? So he's their guy. Like, he's, Marner can be an absolute pest with his skill. I mean, I've equated him, I think, on this show, too. Like, he's a right-handed Patrick Kane to me. But Matthews does everything. Like, he does it all. And if he doesn't, then their team is nowhere near as good. Think of we've talked about, like, what would the Leafs rebuild have been like had they not gotten Matthews? And it would have been nowhere close. It just wouldn't have been the same. Yeah. And so tonight, this is a stage for him that they need him to come up not just sort of big. They need him to be enormous. I don't think they win unless he's really prominent in the game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, and that is what a superstar does, right? Like, he stepped up big time in Game 3. He scored that beautiful goal. He was much more tenacious. He was on the puck. They were cycling the puck well. They're more fluid through the neutral zone. But the difference between a superstar and a guy in the third or fourth line, now blends into the series. The superstar goes, okay, that's the salad. That's the appetizer. Like, let's get rocking for Game 4 tonight.
Yeah, there's certain guys that just have that ability, don't they? They just, the game gets big and you just sort of know that they're going to be part of it somehow. And it's crazy to think that that's how we think about Matthews. And really that is how he is, and he's 20. Like, he's just getting going. But nobody's got patience for just getting going in this scenario.
No,
it's
exactly.
Like, they need it now.
Yeah, I agree. He has to be a game changer. And I don't know if you read the article about Brad Marchand in the Players Tribune.
Yeah. God, he sounded like a pain in the ass as a kid, didn't he?
Yeah, but that's the thing. You know, this guy, I think, comes by it naturally. I mean, it's not something that he developed. I think it's just been a lifelong thing where, you know, he's a small guy and he's overcome a lot of things. And he said, you know, to be a difference maker, I've had to be that competitive in everything I do. And, you know, we were talking about it last hour about the love being thrown around. There was love being thrown around by Cassidy for Marner yesterday. Morgan Riley comes out and says, oh, you know, Marchand's a star. Like, none of them will call him a little ass or anything. They're just like, yeah, he's a star player. He is, but he's a pain in the ass to play against.
Now, and so that's where the guys that were critiquing or criticizing Drew Doughty, that's why that pissed me off so much. Because he just came out and said what he really thinks. And so why is that wrong?
It was described as federal league. It was just so stupid.
You know, like, I loved what he said, because could you imagine how much more the game would be interesting for people watching, for sponsors, for casual people, if somebody said, yeah, Marchand's unreal, but, man, I'd like to knock his block off. Doesn't mean you're going to try. You're just... You have some real emotion. Right now, do you think they're thinking, you know, oh, yeah, he's a really good player? They just, all they're thinking about is how to stop him, how to get under his skin so they don't get under his, under theirs. Like, there's something that Doughty does that I think should be celebrated. It doesn't mean you agree all the time. There's no way that means that you agree all the time with what he says. But that's the whole point. Like, this stuff here about, you know, how great everybody is, it smells. It smells like you guys in a truck for 20 hours.
Yeah, exactly what it smells
like. Basting away.
Three hours.
Yeah, just...
Just roll over every so often so, you know, you get the basting even.
It honestly is... It's growing grosser by the second in here. Like, I am overheating. I'm borderline passing out here.
Yeah, we're going to need a measurement on armpits sweat for sure. Yeah. Right about 8 inches under each pit.
We're right in a steam. We're doing a radio show in a steam.
I need a pail under my shorts.
My first day I was ever on TV, I started at ESPN, and they're like, okay, we're going to start. And nobody told me what to do. I don't know what the hell is going on. I took my jacket off at the end of the night. I had a sweat stain from my elbow to my rib cage. And the host is like, nervous much? It's like, oh my God, I don't even know what I'm doing out here. Like, I was terrified. That's bad sweat, man.
Well, that's why they, you know, the old adage in TV is make sure it's ice cold, the studio.
Yeah, that's Duffy.
Duffy says all studios should be cold.
Ice cold, specifically for that. Because if you start sweating on TV, not to mention, if you're caked
stop.
Up. If you're caked up with makeup and it starts to blend a little bit,
it's not good.
And it's an awful look if you're starting to overheat. Luckily for us, we're only on radio, but
I love that the makeup lady can't get more than 7 feet away from where I am. You're getting a little shiny. Yeah, it's because I got no hair. That's why I'm getting shiny. Move along.
Take a lap, please. Right now.
They're so nice, and I'm like, I got no time.
No,
please,
I know.
I'm embarrassed.
I know. Bigger surprise for you, Vegas pulling off the sweep or San Jose pulling off the sweep?
Vegas for me. I really grew to appreciate how good that team is. Like, I picked them to beat LA. I didn't even think that was possible. Like, not even close. And so I didn't love Anaheim, and I didn't love them less, after Fowler was hurt. I'm like, they're in a real deficit position here. I didn't think they could beat San Jose. And again, but I didn't think it was going to be a sweeps. But if I have to pick one, I would say Vegas for me.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be consistent all year, right? Like, if they keep winning, how can you not have an element of shock? I was a bit surprised last night when, like, it was announced that Crosby had passed Lemieux terms of all-time points.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
In the playoffs for Pittsburgh, it really is. I mean, and I guess you shouldn't be surprised because Sid's gone to the Cup 4 times. Mary only went twice.
Right.
But I just look at Lemieux, and I think of Lemieux as a guy who just 3 points a game every single night, like three
it's
points
true.
A night.
What's
like,
crazy is if you go through Crosby versus Gretzky, because the stats in the regular season where Crosby's so unbelievable, like 89-point seasons, 90-point seasons, a couple hundred. Then you go to Gretzky's, and it's like 200, 212.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's crazy.
Well, what about, you know, I've heard Crosby, you know, described, I don't know, more than a couple of times about what a great grinder he is. And so it almost is what we're, you know, like the surprise of him passing Lemieux. It's like he grinds his way with superior skill, but he grinds his way and all of a sudden he's at the very top of the heap. Like I'm with you guys. I didn't have any sense that he was that close.
Yeah. And he might play for another 8 or 10 years. You know, who knows when he's going to stop playing.
And what about the similarity between them? You know, like Mario, of course, was sick. He had leukemia, or Hodgkin's, I'm sorry. And then he had the bad back, and Crosby missed all that time with concussion. I mean, there was a point where neither of them looked like they were going to be able to have the career we all hoped they were going to have. And yet here they are sitting right at the top of the, you know, the top of the heap in amazing fashion. You know, I'm blown away more lately by Crosby than I was even a couple of years ago. I'm like, how does he keep getting better? Like, how does it happen? Because it seems to happen.
Well, you're right, and I don't know if you watched that game last night, but they just rinsed Philadelphia again. Like,
that series is over.
I mean, the scary part is we're talking about how great Crosby is. Geno Malkin's putting a show on, too. And as he always does, he's kind of in the shadow.
How about Phil last night?
I know, Phil's goal.
Turnover in the neutral zone, backhand pass, and then just takes off. And he's still got wheels, man. I'm waiting for him to start skating like I do, and it just doesn't happen. Like, Phil just continues to produce as well. It's incredible.
Well, I will say, like, my favorite part of Phil, honestly, when I watch him play, is when he's tired. There's nothing better. Like, his legs can't be straighter. He can't look more like a beer league player. And he's so exhausted when he gets back to the bench. It's honestly part of my favorite thing watching him play. Gloves up on the boards, just gasping for any air. And then he gets to the next shift and he comes flying out of there and does what you said. I mean, I just love watching him play like that.
Yeah, he is great. And they're going to continue to play because that series, that's pretty much over. Pittsburgh is just over Philly.
That is so done. Like, it looks like no matter how hard they try, like, it's just not possible.
No, you know, I'm with you on that.
They can do whatever they want. It's just not possible.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5. We'll break down game 4.
Yep, you betcha. We'll talk to you then, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on Overdrive. We're live at the Maple Leaf Square ahead of game 4 tonight. A lot of people tweeting in asking, who's the guy breathing so heavily?
Yeah, there's a mouth breather, apparently.
It could be me. Are you breathing like Dom DeLuise or what?
Well, we're all struggling in here. Like, I think there's no oxygen left in this little cubbyhole of ours. Like, I think it's airtight.
I do feel like we're running out of oxygen.
If someone was doing that, we would all hear it.
Well, I'm not kidding you. I've gotten 4 or 5 tweets being like, can you tell Tony Soprano to stop nose breathing into the mics? Like, who is that?
Me. I don't know.
We would hear it.
Well, we're not hearing it because it's
somebody's
out there.
Breathing heavy.
Anyway,
it's me.
Probably Mullen.
That could be Mullen. We'll blame Mullen. Mullen and Hunt. They're back in the studio. The AC is on in here, and I honestly feel like we've resurrected. We're back.
We've been on for an hour and a half. We just found the button, or
yeah,
what?
No kidding. What happened there, Paul?
This guy.
Just because we were chirping to start the show, he's like, all right.
Exactly. How about we overheat these bastards?
Yeah. It's like, all right, you guys want to baste a little bit? Let's get the oven going on.
Exactly.
In there. We're live at Maple Leaf Square again. We're teeing up the game tonight. Bob McKenzie in studio in the 6 p.m. hour. Pre-game beginning at 6:30. Peter DeBoer will join us from the Sharks. Jays Yankees down in the Bronx. LeBron goes off last night. Lots of stuff going on. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050. All right, so a couple of people tweeting in saying it's definitely Hayes that is breathing too loud. And Alex tweeting in saying, I know it's Hayes, I can tell. Because the guy, he overcompensates with a breath before he starts shooting his yap. So I guess I'm the guy that's guilty of breathing too heavily into the mic.
I thought it was O.
I thought it was me, too. It was me.
I think you left your mic on while you were...
dazing off?
Yeah. And you were...
Just a deep Dom DeLuise nose breathe. Yeah. It happens.
But, like, I don't know.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Who cares?
It was more of a mouth breathe. That's what it is.
Peter DeBoer is going to call in here in just a moment. I want to get to this LeBron James story. LeBron went off last night, like he is prone to do, and they needed that. They needed every one of his 47 points, I believe he had last night, 46 points, because they barely got past Indiana and got a split at home, and now they hit the road, and it's 1-1. They do not look like the best team, but the biggest news in the NBA yesterday was tough news. Greg Popovich, his wife passed away, and I guess she had been battling an illness for quite some time, and Popovich and his wife have been married for a long time, but anyway, it caused a bit of a stir because Allie LaForce from the NBA on TNT, she posed a question to LeBron after the game about the passing of Aaron Popovich. Okay, let's play this and we'll quickly discuss the reaction to it and whether or not there even should have been a reaction.
I know you're close with Pop. Any words or thoughts you'd like to share with him?
I'm a huge Pop fan. I love Pop. That's such a tragedy. And, you know, my best wishes goes out to Pop and his family.
So I was watching it live because I was watching the game, and I watched that post game with him. And we'll get to my reaction in a moment. But immediately, Twitter, again, as it is prone to do, blows up because...
Well, I want to know the facts. Did she prep him beforehand and say, I'm going to ask you this question? But it almost seemed like even if she did do that, LeBron was stunned as if she was just informing him.
But it turns out she did inform him. And LeBron, to his credit,
right,
he jumped on Instagram and Twitter after the game and said, hey, everybody, relax. Like, stop popping off about this reporter. She told me about it before. She asked me if I wanted to comment on it, so we went forward with it. So I don't have any problem with it.
So why is the fake outrage? There was people going nuts last night on Twitter.
They were. And quite frankly, listen, I don't know Aaron Popovich, but she is not a public figure, with all due respect. Greg Popovich is, but Aaron Popovich, his wife, is not. LeBron James has never played for Popovich. I know they're close just based on them being in the NBA fraternity.
Is what you're getting to why the question anyway?
That was my journalistic standpoint. Like, the fact that she asked it, I don't have a problem with it. I was more taken aback by the fact that she would think there's an audience that wants to hear an answer for that. Like, if LeBron wants to give an answer at the podium or down the road or on Instagram or on Twitter, they just had a massive game. They picked up a big win. They barely won. He went off. I want to hear him talk about the series as opposed to Aaron Popovich, who...
Is that a producer or a director saying, hey, you got to ask him?
Get his two cents, because he's one of the spokesmen for the NBA, and he's one of the best players in the world.
But if that's the case, good on her to at least say, hey, I'm going to hit you with this question. It's going to be a tough question, because he probably didn't know about it, right?
But I wouldn't have a problem if he said, I'm going to wait till the postgame in front of all the media. I don't think this postgame interview on the court right now, I don't think is the time and place.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was my standpoint. I think the producer...
I'm fine with either way, Brian, but the outrage about it is just... It's not that big of a deal.
No, it's really not. I mean, she didn't pose him a question that was gotcha. It turns out she gave him a heads up beforehand, and he said, yeah, let's go with it, and I want to give an answer on it. He was emotional.
Right.
He gave an answer. And you move on. It really is not the end of the world. This is another example of where people are always looking for a take and they want to freak out about something.
Yeah.
But again, from my standpoint, I was thinking in the moment watching it live, okay, you know, he's LeBron and I kind of want to hear his opinion on everything, but I kind of want to hear what he had to say about the game.
Right. I could have passed on.
Yeah. I mean, with all due respect to Greg Popovich and the Popovich family, LeBron would have given an answer on that at some point. I just didn't think it needed to happen right after that game, after a massive playoff game where LeBron was brilliant and they barely won, and there's some controversy kind of surrounding the Cavs. Are they actually going to get this done? Will they get out of the first round, let alone get back to the finals for a fourth year in a row?
Right.
So I kind of more looked at it like, if I'm the producer, I don't feel obligated to ask that question at that particular time. But
right.
This is what... quite frankly, we usually get fluff pieces post-game anyway.
Right.
You know, you don't really get any question of consequence asked. You barely get a genuine answer that you can actually sink your teeth into. And I'm curious to find out where the media game takes player interviews in the future anyway, because a lot of times...
As far as our sport, the sport that we cover the most, I don't need to hear a guy say, you've got to get it in deep.
Me neither.
It's useless.
Yeah, really, it is. I mean, during the game, after the game, for sure, get a quote. Off days, get quotes, but in between periods, no player is going to come out and say,
what about
I guarantee
this?
You we win.
If I'm a coach and I'm on the bench in an intense game, I don't want somebody coming up to me with a microphone saying, hey, what's up? We're going to talk to a coach momentarily.
We got him on the line. You want to ask him that?
Go ahead. You're the host of the show.
All right. Here's Peter DeBoer, the head coach of the San Jose Sharks. They swept Anaheim in the first round. They're off to the second round, taking on Vegas. Thank you for doing this, Peter.
Yeah, you're welcome, guys. Great to be on.
Yeah, we appreciate it. I guess we'll start where we were just talking. What's that like? I mean, when you're on the bench, because they do that in the States. They do it with NBC. And some guys right in your grill. I mean, what's that all about?
Love it when Pierre McGuire comes up with those insightful questions in between. you guys, I think, can imagine what that's like. You know what? I get it. We're selling the game in the States here, and it's different. You know, it's a different hockey knowledge than people across Canada have, and so, you know, what might seem mundane. I also understand we have some, you know, new people that are watching that it might not be mundane to. So it was something that we deal with, but you know, obviously, you know, you're not getting a lot of substance at that point.
Have you ever said, do you have the option to say no to it, Pete, or have you ever been pissed off and said, I'm actually not doing it today?
No, you don't have that option. No, you would, but Gary Bettman would give you the call and you'd get a slap on the wrist for that. So, you know what, again, you get the speech every year about selling the game, and I think as a group of coaches, we're all on board with that. We get that's part of our duties, and you know, it's not a lot of fun, but you know, we get it.
With Peter DeBoer, head coach of the San Jose Sharks, they're off to the second round, taking on Vegas.
How quickly did Evander Kane settle into your system and with your team? Because he looks really good right now.
You know what, Evander jumped right in, and the one thing I'll tell you about Evander is this guy's a smart hockey player, and he's played in. You know, Canada's high-level program before. I had him on a world championship team. He played on a world junior team. He played junior hockey for Donnie Hay. You know, so he's had systems put in front of him. He knows how to play in a system. I think the biggest thing for him, the biggest difference has been he's in an environment where he enjoys coming to the rink. The guys expect to win. You're around Jumbo Thornton, you're around Joe Pavelski, you're around Bernsey. It's hard not to, that excitement and that energy is contagious. And, you know, that's the biggest thing with him that I saw. I saw a guy that just walked in and was just really excited to play and do whatever he could do to help. And I'll be honest with you, this guy works as hard away from the puck as he does going on offense. He's not a selfish player. He's made some fantastic plays to set up other guys. He's been really good for us, and the one thing I probably underestimated was his physical presence and the respect he gets on the ice. Not many people mess around with this guy.
Pete, you've gone to a finals with Martin Jones, but is this the best hockey you've ever seen him play? He was incredible in this series.
Yeah, I think so. This series for sure. I mean, you know, I remember Pittsburgh, I think it was game 5 in Pittsburgh, we had no business winning, and he single-handedly got us to a game 6. I think he stopped 40-plus. But, you know, he did that every night here for 4 games. And, you know, I think we did a good job of being ready to play from the drop of the puck. I think part of it was fear. Anaheim was rolling into the playoffs healthy for the first time all year. They had won 10 of 11, and we wanted to disrupt that mojo a little bit early in the series, and we managed to do that and kind of get under their emotional skin. And you know, I think, you know, before you looked up, they were in a 3-0 hole, and you know, I think that was the key to the series because, you know, the way they played in game four, you know, this would have been one long series had we seen that right from game one.
With Peter DeBoer, head coach of San Jose, they're off to the second round, and I'm sure it's happened before, but I can't recall the last time you had two teams meet in the second round after they both swept the first round. I mean, are you a little bit rattled that the Kings couldn't have hooked you up a bit? I mean, pushed that series a little bit?
I can tell you the biggest question from my players today was, can we go into Vegas and practice for a week prior to starting? I know O would be leading that charge into the coach's office for sure.
I would be teleconferencing you from Vegas to tell you to come there.
But, yeah, you know what? The one thing about this Vegas team is they are for real. And you know what? It's funny, but I remember playing them. Our first regular season game against them, I believe, was in November. And they had been on a little bit of a roll to start. And people were starting to talk about them and was it real? And I walked out of the game that night and I said to our coaching staff, like, this team is real. They're not going anywhere. They're four lines deep. They play hard. They work really hard away from the puck, which is a huge credit to their coaching staff and Gerard Gallant. And they get great goaltending. And, you know, I thought that they played an exceptional series against LA and we're going to have our hands full. It should be a great series.
I'm not sure if you got to see it live, but if you did or if you saw it afterwards on tape, what was running through your mind when you saw Patrick Marleau a couple of nights ago in Game 3 score those two goals?
Yeah, you know, just awesome. He's such a good person, you know, and again, I only had him for the 3 years I was here, but or the 2 years. Yeah, I guess it's the 3 years, two of the 3 years I was here so far. But, you know, he scored some big goals in the playoffs for us on the run to the Stanley Cup final. He did last year against Edmonton in the first round, even though we lost out, you know, and had some injuries with Jumbo and some other key people. But just such a pro. And I'm not surprised that he showed up in the most critical game of the year with that type of performance. And really happy for him.
Well, best of luck going forward into the second round and try to survive Vegas on the ice, off the ice, the whole nine.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see you guys there. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. We hope so, too. There's Peter DeBoer, the head coach of the San Jose Sharks. That is tough, man. You got time off, and you got to fly into Vegas a couple of days before the series.
And the boys are like,
imagine if the boys actually asked that. Can we get to Vegas and practice?
That's a no guy.
That's a death wish.
Yeah, no way. No way.
But the thing is, you're going to have to go in there and win a game, regardless of how, whatever you think. And guys are pros, but they're still... Now, San Jose's a team that they've been very tight for a long time, that core. And I remember being in Vegas at the end of the season one time, and they had, like, their year-end party in Vegas. Like, the team flew over there. I actually remember running into Patty Marleau and Jumbo.
The biggest legend move is when Cleveland won in Golden State. And that night.
Yeah, going to Vegas.
They go into Vegas and shred a club and then go home.
Yeah, that's the club that's... I've been at that club. It's a bar, but it's also a pool party. So it's an indoor-outdoor.
Yeah, clothing was optional. I have a feeling Tristan Thompson had a great time.
Well, you never know.
Man, is he hated by every female in the universe.
He is getting destroyed.
Yeah, like tweets, just random people. Hope everyone has a great day, except Tristan Thompson.
I know. Man, is he taking a beating.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, you know, he's...
Kind of brought it on himself.
It happens. Ultimately. I mean,
girls never cheat, though.
Well,
it's only a one-way street.
Oh, yeah. They never do anything like that.
Ray's not coming up. Bobby Mack is coming up.
Yes.
Around the table.
We'll be ready for
We're out here at 6:30 for the pregame.
It's not as hot in here.
Actually, they got the AC working.
They fired the AC up. They waited 90 minutes to turn it on.
It was because we were smartasses out of the gate, and we were chirping the truck.
Yeah.
And our buddy Paul, who runs the operation down here, said, okay.
Straighten you out and make it 85 degrees.
It's a 10-10's truck. You're welcome, by the way.
He'll smoke us out.
Exactly.
He's the man with the controls.
Yeah.
We're live at Maple Leaf Square. I had a game four tonight. We continue to tee it up. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. We are live in the TSN 1050 truck, the food truck,
yes,
in Maple Leaf Square. And if you want to get a look at the setup, you can follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050. The station's Instagram account posted a picture of the three of us, stiffs in here.
Three goons in a truck, but...
Three goons in a truck.
I've been people watching as they walk by with their jerseys, so... What will be the most obscure name you see on the back of a jersey? Because I just saw one.
I saw a couple today, an actual couple, like husband and wife. The guy had, I want to say, I think it was Lanny McDonald, and she had Matt Martin.
Really?
Like you don't see a lot of Matt Martin jerseys around.
Oh, but he is a...
He's a hitter and a fighter and people like that.
Yeah. I just saw a Grabowski jersey.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know
he's,
what I
he's
saw?
He's actually standing right over there. He's making his way. And yeah, he's a grit grinder.
Oh, yeah, 84. There he is.
Yeah.
Mikhail Gabrowski. He was so rattled when they bought him out. Yeah, how rattled was that guy? He probably bought the jersey a day before they bought him out.
Yeah, that guy. I mean, remember Gabrowski had some heavy words on the way out, I think, for Randy, wasn't it?
Oh, he was not happy with Randy. That was Jonas Siegel, I think,
yes,
that had
Jonas
that.
Jonas scooped him from his wedding.
We should find that audio. I'll bet you we could find it somewhere. It's got to be in the TSN Radio
him, like,
archives.
Idiot? Idiot?
There was a lot of swearing.
There was a lot of F-bombs.
I feel like there may have been some booze involved, and he went off on Randy Carlyle. He hated Randy.
I mean, he's pretty much done. Because he's got the bad... He's had concussion problems,
and I don't even know where he is anymore.
I want to say the Islanders, but I think somebody else picked up his contract.
I think Vegas might have.
It's Vegas or Arizona that has his contract.
One of those two teams, anyway.
I think it's Vegas. I think you're right.
I saw probably the biggest knob in Toronto drive right down here. Down Bremner Road or Avenue, whatever it is. I'll tell you about that to kick off the 6 p.m. hour because it's a scene down here. There's a ton of people.
Yeah.
There's security. There's cops. I couldn't believe what I was witnessing while we were talking to Peter DeBoer. So we'll get to that. And Bob McKenzie will join us, our TSN hockey insider. We'll get the O-Dog back in here. Grabowski is in Vegas.
With Clarkson.
With David Clarkson.
Yes. Both of their contracts.
Both in Vegas. And that team's in the second round.
Yeah.
And the Leafs are trying to get out of the first. We're live again at Maple Leaf Square ahead of the game tonight. Puck drop just after 7. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050.